Good afternoon. Thanks for listening for WBAI New York 99.5 FM and streaming live at WBAI.org. This is Driving Forces, where we always bring you the deeper discussion about the issues and the people shaping our community and our country. I'm Celeste Katz Marston. I will be here momentarily, I hope, with the peripatetic Jeff Simmons. I think we have a little matter here of getting him the connection into the studio. So we are going to be working on that. And our technical director, Reggie, of course, will be helping us out with that right now. But in the meantime, very excited to be here with you today. We have a lot to talk about. Jeff is actually going to be joining us any moment now from Puerto Rico, if you can believe that. So if you ever had any doubts whatsoever in your mind about Jeff's commitment to this program, he is on vacation. He is supposed to be out there sunbathing and doing tourist things and having a good time. But instead, he is sitting in his hotel room and he is about to join us right now. Jeff, how are you? He is not joining us right now, but he's going to be very shortly. I got a little excited. But anyway, my point is that Jeff is a person who is committed to this radio station. He has gone far, far, far away, and yet he is going to be joining us from on the road. And I'm very excited for that because I'm interested to hear about what his experience is there. I've had a chance to talk to him just a little bit this week as we were getting ready for this show. And we are going to be having one of our favorite guests also joining us on the program very soon. Of course, that is Herson Barrero. You know him from television, from radio, from the newspapers, from just generally being a man who is in the know, and very, very excited to have him with us today as well. So he is going to be joining us, but certainly we have a lot to talk about today. And we're going to be bringing you in on that action. So hold on to the number. I'm sure you know it by heart. 212-209-2877. Hang on to that one. 212-209-2877. We'd love to hear from some new people. We have, of course, our dedicated listeners. We have, you know, the Roger of New Milford's of the world. So we love to hear from you guys, but we'd love to hear from some new people. People from different parts of the city. So please hang on to that number, 212-209-2877. And as we are working to get connected to Jeff, who is at this very moment, I'm actually looking at him on a live video feed, and he looks very, very handsome, very, very well rested, and very, very excited to join us. But is this happening? I'm vamping a little bit. This is what's called ad-libbing or vamping. But we do have a lot to hear about now. I can hear you now, Jeff. I've missed you, and you could tell from my frantic vamping on the air. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I'm having to work a little differently right now, but it's great to be with you from Puerto Rico here, and especially with our special guest coming up.
Jeff, I can't believe you're even doing this show. I was just saying, I don't know if you could hear the broadcast a little bit earlier, but I was just saying, you are a guy who is so, so dedicated to this station. And first of all, you do two shows, and I hope everybody also listens to City Watch on Sunday mornings. Jeff is up with the sun preparing for that program as well. But Jeff, we've been doing this program now for, what, 5.5 years, and you have really, I'm going to hand it to you. I mean, I'm just the other guy on this program. Like, you are the one who is really making it happen.
Well, thank you, and I've been really happy to do this with you. That's why, you know, I miss you. I can't quit you. Even when I'm on vacation, I have to have my dose of Celeste. And by the way, I'm going to tease next week because I'm very excited about who we have, Celeste, and we'll come back to this later, but we're going to have Jan Oliver from the MTA on here. And I know congestion pricing is a big issue our listeners care about. So be ready for that. But I do want to let our listeners know I'm on a farm in the mountains in Cabo Rojo. So you are probably going to hear sheep. You may hear a horse. You're definitely going to hear the peacocks. So I'm just warning you about that.
What does a peacock even sound like?
In the morning, an alarm clock for me.
Well, first of all, Jeff, and we are going to be talking to Herson, who, of course, is an expert on this. But just talk for 2 seconds more, because I'm genuinely interested. What is it like up there where you are? What are you doing? What are you seeing? What are you eating? Because the food part is always the important part. Hi, Mom. What's going on?
I've had a lot of empanadas, some good Puerto Rican food here, but I'm moving around the island over a week and a half, really enjoying. We're on the southwest side of the island right now. I want to make sure I'm getting it right. Of course, the emergency alert, which had the word tsunami, which was the only word I could pick up in this alert, got me a little scared. But it was just, in case of a tsunami, here's what you should know. So it's been a little interesting because, you know, we're in for a little bad weather, but I know it's moving towards the Northeast.
Oh, my God. Well, that's great. Well, speaking for the Northeast or from the Northeast or both, not excited for that. But you know what, Jeff? Speaking of all the things, I was going to start in with a little bit of a news teaser, but honestly, I want to get right to Herson because I'm so excited to talk to him. He is a favorite on this show, and we're going to bring him on the air right now. But first, a very quick reminder, while you're listening, while you're excited to hear from the Honorable Herson Barrero, we need you to help this station and this show stay on the air. So if you can go to WBAI.org today and become a BAI buddy in the name of Driving Forces, that would make a huge difference. You can sustain us with a gift in any amount that is right for you. All you have to do is go to give to, that's the number two, WBAI.org today. You can do it right now, right this second, right while you're listening to the program. Become a BAI buddy in the name of Driving Forces. We really appreciate your help. We need you to help us stay on the air for another 60 years. And your contribution helps us get there. We cannot do this alone. We can only do it with your help. That is give to, that's the number two, WBAI.org. So we're going to move right along to our special guest. Oh, wait, Jeff, what? Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, and later in the show, folks, if you want to donate, but you'd like to getting something for your donation, don't change that dial because we've got something for you, a special gift that a publisher has given us that I think you're going to want to purchase by just a donation, a very small donation, but you're going to help the station and get a free book. We'll tell you about that later.
Oh, my God, the teaser, the suspense for old age. I don't know what's doing it to me, but this is exciting, and I'm looking forward to hearing more about that. So we are going to move right along with our very, very special guest right now. You know him. You love him. We love him. You know him from Spectrum News New York One and New York One Noticias. From 2014 to 2017, he was at City and State New York, various capacities, including the editor at large. He was also on the editorial board. He was a columnist. Before that, you knew Herson Barrero as a columnist and editor-in-chief of El Diario La Prensa. And before that, as a host on a slew of English and Spanish language stations all over the city and in Puerto Rico. So without further ado, the man, the legend, Herson Barrero, welcome back to Driving Forces.
Well, look who's in Puerto Rico, Cabo Rojo. I'm from Ponce. So he had probably went through Ponce to get to Cabo Rojo. You're in an excellent town, small town, good people. And by the way, in Puerto Rico, we call it empanadillas. We don't call them empanadas, but it's still the same thing. They're really good. They're really good. So you'll come back with a few pounds on you. So that's terrific. Enjoy the island and don't worry about the tsunamis. That's just the warning, being responsible. Hello to all of New York, all New Yorkinos. Celeste, thanks for inviting me, and I'm glad that we can do this together and talk about everything. By the way, in terms of the contributions, the donations that you have to send, just think about it this way. Every dollar that you send will be against Donald Trump, the criminal in chief, the treasonous, the guy who has our money, and Tish James is going to take away his building. Just think of it that way. This is my own plug of getting you to send your money. And because it does matter to tell the truth, to have this type of radio that goes on, the communication, what you're hearing, the programs that go on, and your voices, which are so important. But, you know, el dinero cuenta, envíenselo a WBAI. Now.
Well, Herson, I got to throw in a very mild disclaimer here that we are a nonprofit, nonpartisan radio station, and we don't support any candidate for political office. But to your point, what we do provide is a forum for people to air their views about really important political issues, about the election, about what's going on in the city.
I appreciate that disclaimer. So this is Herson Borrero. I'm saying that on my behalf. I did not mean for it to reflect, but I can't stand Donald Trump. I think that he is a treasonous traitor, a cheat, a scoundrel, a thug, and everything else is bad. Anything else you want to throw in. So this is Herson Borrero. I'm a guest here. I have no affiliation to WBAI. It's licensed. And all the good people there, the that are really nonpartisan. I'm independent, but, you know, what can I say? But listen, so let's get through this. Just send your money in.
I like that part. I like that.
Okay.
Herson. Siempre eres tan impresionante. Now, my Spanish is not as good as Blumbito's, but I am trying.
Thank you. But here, you know, what I'm doing is, as somebody just reminded me before we went on the air, I'm faking it until I make it. So there you go. So, so listen, you're in Puerto Rico. The Vice President of the United States, I don't know if you know this, she's going to be there tomorrow for a total of 5 hours. She's going to be there with Secretary of Energy Jennifer Granholm, and they're both there to do some work, but she's also going to fundraise. Vice President Kamala Harris is there to pick up some money. The problem is, and it's already a bochinche, some people are really angry at her because she's going to, it isn't just she's going there to pick up some money, which, of course, this is the season to give to all your political favorites. She's going to do it with someone who is really not a friend of Puerto Rico. These are the vultures, the investors. And there are a lot of people. There's some protests being planned while you're there. I don't ask you to cover it. Neither would Celeste want to or BAI to go to where the protests are going to be, because she just happened to pick also that it's the end of slavery in Puerto Rico. And somehow everybody, you know what happens. They pile on. Her intentions are good in terms of the government and what's happened after Maria. But the fact is, the vice president is going to be talking to some people or taking money from vulture capitalists, investors in Puerto Rico. There's a law there that has allowed for people to go there and take millions of dollars and buy up Puerto Rican property and then be able to do that against the wishes. I mean, the values of properties in Puerto Rico have skyrocketed, and it's become a real problem. So not very wise on the part of the White House, since we're, you know, talking in general about politicians and the stupid things they do. This is my opinion. So how do you send the vice president in a campaign season where Latino votes are being really, right now, some people up in the air? I don't believe that. I think Latinos will vote for the right person once they do it. It's their choice. But in their infinite wisdom or not, how can they be so stupid, I'm calling stupid, in White House, sending the vice president on a significant day where the abolition of slavery in Puerto Rico was over? And then it just coincides with her taking money out of the island of people, multi-billionaires, right? These are not just binos like billionaires in name only, which is what Donald Trump is. These are real people who have money invested in Puerto Rico, buying up Puerto Rico, paying all kinds of ridiculous prices. And this is of concern for those of us who love our island nation. So not too happy right now with Vice President Kamala Harris in Puerto Rico.
And I will say that it's funny, it's interesting that you mentioned this at a time where when we were on the other side of the island and Condado, we were in a cab, and that was a discussion that the cab driver was having with my friend on the way out, just about, the money grab that, as you said, the gringos were having.
Yeah, it's not a good thing. And quite frankly, you know, I just don't know who puts these things together. But I guess in their attempt to continue this cash flow, which has been terrific for the president and his reelection team, but you don't do things like that. You just don't go to an island nation occupied since 1898 by the United States and making it a part of their war winnings against the Spanish-American War that there was, and then just throw it in their face. Also, on a significant day in which the slavery was abolished in Puerto Rico. And I just don't understand it, how you did that and then you do it with people. And I'll say it, investors, people that are harming the island, as I've already said. You can look this up. Everybody listening to BAI, look it up, see the news. Of course, mainstream media is not reporting about this because they could care less in terms of what happens to our island nation.
So, Hersen, sort of related, not exactly related, but sort of related. You know, one thing that I always tried to write about during different campaigns, speaking about the campaign for president right now, is how different campaigns are trying to appeal to different groups in the electorate. And I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, of course, but I think that there are some people out there, Latino voters, who feel like, you know, in particular, the Democratic Party has kind of taken them for granted for a long time. And I'm just wondering, how do you think that is going in this campaign right now? And do you see the Republican Party doing anything of interest to try to get some of these voters interested in listening to what they have to say?
The one thing that the Democratic Party has is that the Republican Party doesn't want people like us in their party. So they don't want even, they don't want Mexicans, they don't want Puerto Ricans, they don't want Venezuelans, they don't want them, except that what happens, and that's just an excellent question, and bear with me in terms of what the context is. Most of us, unfortunately, have been too loyal, just like you know, blacks in the United States, African Americans, especially women, black women have been so loyal to their mm-hmm. own fault, just like many Latinos and Puerto Ricans in particular, Mexicans also. But the new wave of people that are growing up, like in Florida, which is turned from, you know, it's no longer in doubt that Florida is a state that belongs to the Republicans, and they probably will get those 30 electoral college votes because they will win the popular vote, I think, and I'm told by people that I talk to. There's a different composition to what the structure are. There are more Colombians, there are more Ecuadorians, there are Peruvians, there are people from from Nicaragua, there are Venezuelans, there are people who have fled regimes that now they find there's a person representing those kind of dictatorial manners, which is, you know, in the face of this current Republican Party. But they feel comfortable because they feel that this is something that they understand. So that kind of new voter, Latino voters, could make a difference. And I'm not saying that Donald Trump or the Republican Party is going to get much more than what George Bush got. But the fact is that it is an attractive party because the Democrats are talking. They're scaring these new voters with the whole thing of socialism and communism and these stupid things that far from it that the Democratic Party is right now. So what the not understanding, I'm glad that you continue to do it. I listen, you and other reporters that continue to see how complex this is, in which the Democratic Party doesn't get, just like they don't get, and I feel, I cannot speak on behalf of African Americans or black that have been loyal, but quite frankly, have they taken even seriously African Americans? They haven't. And have they taken the women votes seriously? So in that context, I don't know what's going to happen come November 5th, 2024, but I think that they could lose a substantial. I don't think that they win the entire Latino vote all over the United States, but they'll gain a proportion, and that this candidate, the person running on the nomination, if he makes it to the ballot or if he's not in prison by then, that Donald Trump would do that. This is the guy who's not only a tyrant, a dictator, a fascist, he's just a general bad person. He's a thug. He's a criminal. So how are they able to live with the fact that they fled from regimes like this and are now walking into a person and a party that doesn't want them? I mean, look at the things that he's, horrible things that he has said about immigrants. He's not referring to any person that is white or from Ukraine or Russians or white Europeans. He's referring to us brown folks.
So, Hersen, what I'm wondering, yes, too, is we're about to start early voting. Celeste, you can hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, just making sure. I connected the mic now. I got it working.
Yeah,
we're supposed to start the early voting period here in New York this weekend, Saturday, March 23rd, because I know, and if we get a chance, we'll mention the hotline that Tish James has set up for people to call if they have issues. What do you expect is going to happen across New York State when it comes to this election, especially, you know, or in the primary? Do you think there are going to be strong pockets throughout the state that Trump is going to see significant support? Do you think it's going to be very close, much closer in the state than many Democrats realize?
I think so, because you have a weak, in my opinion, I think that you have the weakest Democratic Party in the in my existence, in my lifetime, in terms of New York State. You have a weak governor. You have a weak mayor in terms of the major city, which is New York City. You have a party leader who is really, you know, not strong. And you saw what happened in the last congressional races of 2022 and how they lost the majority in part two. So the surprises that we're here, I don't think that's improved in terms of the Republican Party. So you have some strong candidates, some really weird things going on in terms of the population. And I think that they probably will hold on to the majority of the seats that they gained in 22, despite the fact that you have somebody, you have Chuck Schumer, right, as the majority leader in the Senate. And you have Hakeem Jeffries, to my understanding, he's doing a good job. But I think that you have weak persons in the – I think that New York State has right now the weakest legislature, even though it's dominated by Democrats. And you have Jay Jacobs is a zero as far as – I'm not a Democrat, so I can say it. Look, let me share something with your audience. In 2022, I did – in 2020, in the election for governor, I did not vote in that election because I didn't like the Republican. I wasn't going to vote Republican, but I didn't like Kathy Hochul either. It was the first time that I skipped the gubernatorial election. So if there are independents like myself who just find weak candidates there, I don't know what's going to happen. Of course, I'm going to vote this time around for my congress member, but I don't like what's happening. I think the Democratic Party has taken too much for granted. I think that you have a weak and lazy legislature who, for example, on the issue of immigrants, as many problems as I have to respond to you with Eric Adams' general mishandling of New York City, I think that, you know, Governor Hochul has been a weak candidate, a weak governor in terms of standing up to another governor. She could have stood up. You know, people forget it isn't New York City that's a sanctuary city. It is New York State who is a sanctuary state. What has she done? Nothing. Nada. Zero. Zilch.
So Herson, and if you're just joining us, this is Driving Forces on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and streaming live at WBAI.org. I'm Celeste Katz Marston here with Jeff Simmons in Puerto Rico, and we are speaking to Herson Barrero. Herson, so what is it that you want Kathy Hochul to do? Do you have like three things that she's not doing that you need her to be doing right now?
Absolutely. She should be a national leader in New York with the assault. For example, let's stand up to Greg Abbott. Stand up to Greg Abbott, the governor of Texas, in case some of you don't know who that is. A Republican who's carrying the bucket on immigration and being nastier than actual, if that's possible. He's just been so bad in terms of his inhumanity with persons who come here as a process to be able to better their lives. By the way, people think that people in Latin America, Venezuela, Mexico, Peru, from wherever they're coming. By the way, Chinese are also coming. China people, they're coming from China. People, in part, when it comes to Mexico, Latin America, the Caribbean, the reason they come here is because of policies, and people don't make the connection because we like to be stupid, to forgive our nation, that everything happens against us, and they're attacking the good old USA, but they're doing things to destroy. For example, Venezuela, for example. The policies that we've done, since we didn't like Hugo Chavez and we had to destroy him, we did things against that nation who was a wealthy nation, a major oil supplier, not only to the United States, to other people in the world. We only took like 17% of the oil produced there, but we had to destroy Hugo Chavez. The consequence was that then other people came in to power who have hurt that nation economically, in part due to the policies that we have imposed on Venezuela. But we forget
go back for 2 seconds, though. So, okay, you're talking about Greg Abbott. You're talking about the governor of Texas, and you're talking about Kathy Hochul, the governor of New York, standing up to her. So,
all right, on immigration, she hasn't stood up as a governor should to defend this state. That's one. Two, she hasn't done enough in the health area to be able, look at what's going on right now. If you look at what her ability is or has been in terms of some of the things that the heroes of a few years ago, nurses and doctors and workers of hospitals, look what she's doing to them. She's completely neglected. That's two. Three, in general, her ability to be able to, you know, she used to talk. We used to worry about Andrew Cuomo, and he was fundraising. She's out raising. That's all she wants. She wants to be building, you know, doing things that are really benefiting that 1% in New York State. And I think that that is horrible. I think that she's allowed herself to be able to then be manipulated by business interests much more so, or as much as our prior governor. So I just don't think that she's any, you know, she's a woman, it's the first woman, but great. But it means nothing if she's going to play like the guys. She's just playing like she's one of the boys with the same kind of attitude and the same kind of preferences for the ruling class.
Mm-hmm. And I want to jump in with one thing so our listeners know that when Kathy Hochul was lieutenant governor, her press people regularly reached out to Celeste and me to have her on the show. Since she's become governor, we have repeatedly reached out to them to have her on this show, and they've ghosted us. So I just want our listeners to know why, you know, you don't hear her on this show. Now, the mayor, for instance, when he was borough president, when he was mayor, he comes on and, you know, and he takes our questions as well, but we've tried this with the governor since she got, you know, elevated to the governor seat, has not been on the show for that reason. They don't get back. So I just want to make sure I stress that. If you just tuned in, this is Driving Forces on WBAI 99.5 FM New York, and also streaming live at WBAI.org, where you can also hear it if you're in Puerto Rico as well right now. But give us a call. We've got Herson Barrero on, beloved political commentator and man about town. Give us a call at 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877. Herson's going to stay on for some time. Take your calls too, Celeste.
Yeah. So, Herson, I want to talk about, you know, talking about some issues that we have in New York right now. And I know that people are going to want to call in about this. 212-209-2877. Talk to Herson Barrero about this. 212-209-2877. Crime in the subways. Now, I just want to ask you, you know, maybe because you are a man who knows New York, right? And you've been, how long have you been living in New York, for example?
I came here at the age of five. I am from Ponce, Puerto Rico. I am now 73, so I've been here for a little while.
Okay, so you've seen a couple of things. So going back, you know, and there have been like peaks and troughs. I mean, I remember there were times when I was a kid where it was like, you know, walking around Times Square, it didn't look so good, and then it became really Disneyfied, and then, you know, now, and then the trains were all covered with graffiti and it was not safe. And then it was super safe. Now it's not so safe. You know, so like if you're looking at the whole sort of landscape of your time in New York, like how does this measure up what we are seeing now in terms of public safety from what you remember from years ago?
Well, quite frankly, I think that compared to prior years, and I'm talking about the early 70s and into the 80s, it doesn't compare in terms of actual crime and the deaths. And I actually saw people on a daily basis, you would see in the neighborhoods that I grew up in or that I hung out in, you would actually see bodies. I mean, that's not exaggeration. With these two eyes that someday the Mother Earth will take back when I'm buried, the fact is that I've seen a lot of things that now, this is not statistics, actual crime, drug addiction, the fires, the looting of the burning of the buildings, all of that, which, by the way, people forget that kind of crime. When it was official, and people for profit, the arson for profit that we lived through, burning out our neighborhoods because we had moved in and the value had gone down, so the building owners had to burn down our neighborhoods, which is part of the crime. But having said that, I think that it isn't as bad as I lived in, and New Yorkers my age will probably, you know, say the same as I'm saying. But yet, the perception and the actual way in which the crime is committed right now, there seems to be an inclination to really abandoning the city. What is being done is being sort of, you know, dealt with statistics and not head on in times to prevent that. The perception of crime on the subways is real. You just don't continue. And again, Kathy Hochul, the governor, which you have invited, and she hasn't come up to answer some of your questions or take calls from the listeners on the AI, actually doesn't, you know, she thinks that by moving National Guard or by moving state troopers, a certain amount of them, you know, you need a continuous presence. Give you an example. Today, the top brass commanders of the NYPD were on the subway. They wanted to feel, to see what it is that people are feeling and to be able to watch it. What a bunch of fools. What a bunch of fools in the NYPD. You know what you need? Presence. Police presence. Real cops. Not National Guard people. These are not people as part of the first line of defense for the civil society. You need the presence of police officers. And this is what's lacking. Not that they're going to abuse anybody, not exploit anybody. I don't know if you saw some of the clips, and if you watch, and some New Yorkinos must have seen, they were jumping over turnstiles, even in fact, militia people there, or even police officers from the NYPD and state troopers. So the fact is that there, I think there's a disconnect from the reality, and a mayor who actually, you know what, I'm surprised, Eric Adams knows the subway. That's what he patrolled at the beginning. He's acting like this is something new.
And Herson, we've got a few people who've called in. Obviously, they're hearing your passion today, so we want to get them on. Let's get to our first caller. Welcome to Driving Forces. You are on the air. What's your name and where are you calling from? And then we want to know briefly your question for Herson or your statement.
Hello. Hey, I'm calling from Brooklyn.
Hi, you're on the air.
I would like to quote about the sanctuary cities and the immigrants coming in. Yes, they should come in. But they're really, in order to take care of them, it's taking a lot of funds, and they're causing a lot of problems in the community, because look what they're doing. They're cutting back on schools, they're cutting back on libraries and other social programs. This is causing people in the neighborhoods to object to them. So there should be a push for the federal government to add to these funds in order to take care of these people, or add a penny tax or something, so that the funds in the community won't be taken away, and they won't have to close down. I mean, you know, do the public schools? They're gonna cut back on K-12 now. They're cutting back on libraries. So this is causing dissension in the community.
Okay, well, we really appreciate your call. Thank you so much. And Herson, do you want to respond? I mean, how do you balance the sort of humanitarian impulse to help people out? Maybe they're running away from a terrible authoritarian regime. Maybe they're trying to escape crime or abuse of some kind in their own country. But we have people who are here in New York, and they need services, too. How do we balance that?
Okay, I didn't get the caller's name, so I'm sorry I'm not addressing him by his name. Did he say his name?
But no, I don't think so.
The gentleman that just, look, I understand his concerns. You can tell in his voice, but he's misstating the facts. You should actually go back and not by what the mayor is saying, which was inaccurate. The mayor started sounding his alarms. Oh, you know, the sky is falling. The sky is falling. He was proven to be lying. And I'm saying the word. He lied about those cuts in education. He's lied about the fact that this is going to cost $12 billion. Eric Adams, me, Herson Borrero, I will call him a liar again because I've done it before. He misrepresented what it was. He still, by the way, the reason that we have not been reimbursed, we being New York City, is because he has not produced, as any reporter, political reporter, City Hall Press Corps, which you know well, Celeste, that asked them, where is the actual report that he submitted? The man doesn't know a dollar from $100. He just doesn't. He doesn't handle finances. It's still in question. The city council has come up with some of the, refuting some of the things, and they have restored some of the things because he was crying. So this gentleman is concerned, but I say that his concern is misplaced because we go back to Kathy Hochul. Had Kathy Hochul done her job, then she would have, in fact, met head on with Greg Abbott and sent those buses back one, because you got to remember, they're not coming to New York just because they wanted to. They were guided here. They were guided here. And by the way, if you're that concerned, then this gentleman, with others that are listening to us right now, I respect the call that they they go to and start addressing Kathy Hochul, because if New York City, the five boroughs, downstate, if we were the ones that assumed the responsibility, why isn't Kathy Hochul paying 100% reimbursement for what New York City is doing? Because it is an obligation of the state. That answers that gentleman's question, not satisfactorily, because I understand his point, because it's always easier to pick on the little guys and the people that we've created problems for. But I understand. I respect his concern.
Okay, 212-209-2877. We have people holding right now. This is Driving Forces on WBAI. I'm Celeste Katz-Marston here with Jeff Simmons in Puerto Rico, and we are speaking right now to Herson Borrero. 212-209-2877. Going back to the phones, WBAI, you're on the air. What's your name and where are you calling from? What is your question?
Hi, my name's Cruz, and I'm from Central Harlem, lifelong New Yorker, Puerto Rican. I just find it curious that Herson is independent and he's advocating, although he laid the whole spiel out, how the Democratic and both the Republican Party are giving the middle finger to poor and working class people, still advocating for them to go and vote somehow for the Democratic Party when, again, medical centers, supportive services are being gutted under the Democratic watch, okay, and using the cuckoo of the Republican. It is time now for people who used to be advocates for the same class that I'm talking about to stand up and push for third parties, okay? That's what I got to say. You're not going to get anything different when you keep going to the same master begging for your freedom. Time
okay,
to stand
thank
up.
You. Thank
and
you, Cruz. Always happy to hear from you. Thank you, Cruz. Herson, what do you think? Time to come to bail out on the party system that we have now and build something new?
Unfortunately, this is a tyranny of two parties. It's a tyranny. And anyone, by the way, so that Cruz, with all, I understand what you're saying. I became, the first vote that I had for the presidency was in 1972. And I voted for George McGovern. I voted against Richard Nixon. I disaffiliated from any party. I don't believe in political parties. This is not a democracy. This is a sham in general, the system we have, and this is why we have this problem, because we think, and right now, unfortunately, if you believe that Republicans are going to be any better, we already saw what the Republicans are doing, and they're doing, and it gets worse. And I don't believe in the Democratic Party either, but, you know, in my opinion, like I said, I didn't vote in the gubernatorial election of New York State, the last one, for either Kathy Hochul, the Democrat, or Lee Zeldin, the Republican. This time around, in November 5th, if I'm alive, this will be the 14th time that I vote for president, and I will vote for Joe Biden, you know, because we don't have a strong third-party option. By the way, I voted for Ralph Nader. So haters, don't start yelling at me. Voted for Ralph Nader. I voted for other people independently because I just did a protest vote out of frustration. So I'm saying I'm doing what I can. It's only one vote, but I'm not going along with the masses. I have my own opinion. I select candidates based on what I think is needed at the time. But this time around, I'm no fool. I'm not going to go and vote for an independent candidate putting at risk. Even Joe Biden at 81, I'll take him over against the thug and thief and the sexual predator that is Donald Trump.
If you just tuned in, this is Driving Forces on WBAI 99.5 FM New York, also streaming live at WBAI.org. Give us a call at 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. We're talking with Herson Borrero. Herson, I don't know if you've ever been asked this question, but what's crossing my mind because of how passionate you are right now, have you ever considered becoming a candidate?
I love that. Are you kidding me? I wouldn't vote for myself. I would not vote for myself. I don't believe in party structures. I don't like people who actually think that this is a career path, like Joe Biden. Talk about Joe Biden. What the? When we have viejos. I appreciate at 73, first of all, I believe that president should have a 1 6-year term. That we should, if you're 65, that's the oldest. 65, if you have more than 65, don't run. With this time, with young people who are tired of seeing the viejas and the viejos you know, hold on to their seats like this is a job for life. I'm against that. So thank you for thinking so kindly of me. I'm passionate because I'm alive, and I'm going to continue to be this way as long as I'm helping and I can speak out. And good folks like you still think that I have something to contribute or say or be provocative. But the fact is that I really believe this. And I believe that what's wrong with this is that we have people in permanent government being reelected and elected and saving and holding on to their dear seats for nothing. I think there should be limitations to office as they are in the city council. I think that a person who actually is holding office should not be able to run for another office and use the taxpayers' money. All of these things that I don't make a good candidate, people. I just don't believe. I think we need major changes. But we talk about them, but we don't do them. We keep supporting the same thing. And there should be an age limit. It isn't just that I'm out against Joe Biden and the other viejo in the Republican Party. I think there should be. You're 65 after you don't run for president. You serve two terms, and you're out of there by the time you're 73 or 74.
Yeah, Herson, you would never make it in politics because people in politics have to know how to talk. They have to know how to talk. I'm sorry, you're disqualified. You know, you have to be able to have something to say. You know, that's what we're looking for in a political candidate. 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877. Get in on this. We're going back to the phones. WBAI, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from? And what do you have as a question for Herson Barrera?
Hello? Am I on now?
You are.
Oh, good. My name is Ronald, and I'm calling from Oyster Bay, former home of Teddy Roosevelt.
Hello.
And I have some comments I would like to make, if I may.
Please.
I love WBAI because I love free speech, and I love different opinions. And I myself, for example, with President Biden, I think he's done more harm for the United States than any previous president in our history, unfortunately. But I must say that in the State of the Union speech that he gave most recently, there were a couple of things that he mentioned that I happen to agree with and I thought were correct. One is to reduce the price of prescription drugs, and the other is for people with credit cards, if they're late in their payment, to have it reduced from 24% to 8%. At least that's an improvement. At least that's going to help people in some way. Also, back a while back when President Biden gave a talk at the prayer breakfast in the Capitol, I actually was moved by what he had to say. And that was the only time in my life that I ever was moved by anything he had to say. Also, I happen to think that the previous callers, the one from Brooklyn and the one from Harlem, were quite correct that so much harm has been done to New York City by the current policies, and also that we certainly need more than the two major parties that we have. I myself voted for Ralph Nader, and at the present time I would favor Robert F. Kennedy Jr. because he is the only one, other than Trump, he's the only other one that I believe would really try and take Washington apart as far as the underlying corruption.
Thank you, Ronald. And I appreciate that. We want to try to give everybody a turn here. And I certainly would have to agree with you that Kennedy Jr. would take Washington apart. I'm not sure in quite what way, but I think that people out there certainly have their own ideas. I think we're going to have time for one more phone call. We're going to go back to the phones right now. You're listening to Driving Forces. Our very, very, very special guest is Herson Barrera, a famous political commentator, journalist, man about town. We're going back to the phones. WBAI, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from? And what is your question for Mr. Barrera?
Yes. My name is Dave. I'm calling from Queens. 2 points. The guest made a very important comment regarding the difference between now and what he experienced in the 70s or the 80s. What I think is the crimes that are committed are crimes of desperation from people, whether it be slashing other people on the subway. There's a lack of hope. There's a lack of belief that there's something around the corner. In the 70s and 80s, there were a lot of, you know, karate stores, a lot of places for youth to go. Rents were very inexpensive, you know, in certain neighborhoods. Life is a misery for a lot of people. It's the have-nots and the have-nothings. And the sad thing is it's just not feasible for, you know, even when you have low rent, everything's so expensive. Life is a misery for most people, and they don't see a future. And they don't see an outlet. And referring to the NYPD, you know, unlike the 70s and 80s, you had a lot of cops that used to live in the boroughs. You lived there. They had kids there. They cared. That's not anymore. Cops come in from all over, and they don't want to patrol. They don't want to get on their feet. They sit in their car. They're on their phones. They sleep. I have pictures of them sleeping. And as the guest said, you know, you need a presence. There is no presence. It's a joke. They're in their cars, and they're doing nothing. And they get a call, and suddenly 20 of them come down the subway, 30 of them, 40 of them. It's a joke. And they lower the standards to such a degree. It's the bottom of the bottom of the bottom of the bottom that's NYPD now. It's sad. It's, you know, not to say that there was some, you know, make NYPD great again, but they don't care. They have no interest. It's just clock in, clock out, overtime, lots of overtime, and they're angry that they can't arrest people.
And that was a big issue that happened at the city council hearing over overtime. A lot of issues were brought up this week. It's something we're going to definitely revisit. I'm cutting you off. I apologize because we're going to have to start to wrap with Herson because we need to remind our listeners about the importance of this show in supporting WBAI. Thank you so much for calling from my borough of Queens. I'll be back there in just a few days. Thank you. Herson, any final thoughts before we wrap up this segment?
I think David had some good commentary. I think that he's on point, and I appreciate the fact that you all invited me. And all I have to say is for your regular listeners of BAI, please send in your contribution. This isn't going to go to waste. It isn't going to a particular campaign of a political party or political candidate. And the fact is that what BAI listeners have demonstrated throughout the years is that they love Nueva York. Con ese amor que tienen por Nueva York, manden sus donaciones. Whatever it is, they count. Your contributions count. And for now, I say it in Spanish, and you'll understand. You'll translate for Celeste. En su lengua quedo. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you so much, Herson Borrero. If people want to find out more about you and your work, where can they go?
Well, I do a program. It's a national program en español. It's through HITN. As a matter of fact, the station is in the Brooklyn Navy Yard, and it's based on national politics. It's in Spanish. It comes out every Sunday at 10 o'clock. I'm on for an hour. I just interviewed, for example, this coming Sunday, your local station there. It's a nonprofit like BAI and HITN. It's called Estudio DC, Herson Borrero, 10 a.m. local here in New York. Look for the station that it's on, and I do that on a national. I interviewed Representative Congresswoman Sylvia Garcia. She's from the 29th Congressional District in Texas. Talk about SB4. Find out what SB4, which is a very dangerous law that Greg Abbott, of course, in his crazy, racist, anti-immigrant, hateful brain came up with in December of last year. Actually, November, mm-hmm. December, approved in December. And he's trying to do something that is not done in any state, and he would be a leader, and others would follow. The Supreme Court just made a decision about it, saying that he could enact it. That Fifth Circuit in Texas did it. So just tune into that. That's what I'm doing. I've been doing that for 8 years now. So I'm keeping busy. Gracias for inviting me. Best of luck. Send your donations into BAI.
Gracias. Herson, gracias por estar con nosotros nuevamente. Siempre es un placer hablar contigo.
Oh, I love that. There you go.
Wow.
Anyway, buenos tardes. Wonderful to have you back with us. We look forward to having you back on again here on Driving Forces.
Anytime.
So thanks so much. If you just tuned in, we only have a few minutes left. Celeste, let me dominate the next minute because I don't want to forget this.
Go ahead, but you have to do it in Spanish now.
I'm not ready for that. At the top of the show, when Celeste was bringing up the importance, and Herson did as well, and we really appreciate that, of supporting this station and this show. Celeste and I need to raise $750 a month for the next 3 months to be able to keep this show on the air. But we know some people want to get something for their donation. So what we've done is recently on my other show, City Watch, I interviewed an author, Cass Sunstein, the author of Look Again, The Power of Noticing What Was Always There, about how we habituate. And the reason we did that was because there's a lot about politics and how politicians also push the envelope because they get used to maybe lying and they push it a little more if they get away with it. And it talks about how we kind of adapt to that. We just expect that this is one chapter in the book, how politicians lie, and we just seem to start accepting it and they push the envelope more and more. Anyway, we have gotten from the publisher 5 copies of this book, Look Again, The Power of Noticing What Was Always There. All we're asking is if you can donate $75 to WBAI, you go on the website, go to give to WBAI.org. That's give to, the number 2, WBAI.org. Look for the premium section. You'll find the book, Look Again, by Cass Sunstein. Put in that you support this show, Driving Forces. Donate $75. I mean, we've got 5 copies of that book from the publisher. We want to be able to give something for donating. And by doing that, you are supporting this show as well. And that really helps keep us on the air and keeps WBAI on the air.
So, of course, that web address one more time, give to, that's the number 2, give to WBAI.org. Please give in any amount you can. You can get that wonderful, wonderful premium that Jeff just described, but you can give in any amount you want, but we need your support. We have been here for 5.5 years volunteering our time to support free speech radio in New York. Please, if free speech means something to you, the time is now. Give to WBAI.org. Do it today, and we thank you.
So I mentioned this at the top of the show. 2 things I want to make sure I give you. One is I talked about how Tish James has opened up this hotline for any complaints, any issues you have if you are going to early vote, which starts this weekend. That phone number you should have in case you have issues and you need to or you want to submit a complaint. 866-390-2992. 866-390-2992. And coming up next week on this show, we're going to be joined by the MTA's chair and CEO, Jano Lieber. He is going to take your calls. The key topic is congestion pricing, but of course we're going to be talking about what Herson and Celeste had talked about as well, which is the perception versus the reality of crime in our city and on our subway system. He is willing to take your calls. Not a lot of guests agree to do this. He's open to doing it. Jano Lieber will be on with Celeste and me next Thursday. And I will be back here on Sunday with City Watch with my co-host Carlos Menchaca at 8 a.m. this Sunday. And what we're going to do on this show on Sunday right now, we're opening it up the entire hour for listener calls. We're going to talk about issues of the day, but we also want to know what's on your mind and what issues you would like City Watch to address over the next few months. So when we're asking you for donations, we want you to know your support matters to us. So we're going to want you to call in then too.
That is our program for today. Thank you to our special, special guest, Herson Barrero. Thank you to our engineer, Reggie Johnson. And of course, thank you to you, our listeners, and especially our supporters. If you missed any part of this program, you can find Driving Forces on Apple, SoundCloud, and wherever you get your podcasts. This has been Driving Forces with Celeste Katz-Marston and Jeff Simmons. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned to WBAI for more great programming. See you on the radio.